Well, good day, everyone. This is Patricia Corey, and you're listening to Beyond the Matrix for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. You have certainly proven to be those people if you're listening to my show over and over again. And today will be no different than other moments when I have dared you to go beyond the Matrix, if there's even a possible idea of how that would be. With a very, very special person who needs really no introduction, but I do want to honor her with that. Today I have with me a kindred spirit. Her name is, of course, the great Dolores Cannon, a revered teacher, a pioneering author, UFO investigator. She is someone that we know and celebrate for what she has brought into the foreground in this time of 2012 in our transition. She is speaking. She's holding an event in London that I've been honored to be invited to as a speaker, October 31st through September 1st. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for that, at the end of the show, I'll ask her to advise how to do that for you. And she has a number of events coming up, which we will, of course, discuss because she's doing a tour in Europe at the moment. But for now, I want to bring her in. We're going to talk about past lives, future lives, and as much between as we could pack into the hour. So without further ado, welcome, dear Dolores. Thank you for being on the show.
Okay. I do want to tell the listeners out there, you know, they know because they listen to my show. Guys, I'm not playing hooky. I am working.
We get that.
Because I left in July, and I told him I wouldn't be back on my show until October, because we're going all over Europe.
And right, I was on your show. You're on my show.
Yeah, you're on your show tonight. But I want them to know that. That's why they're getting archive shows on mine.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you for bringing
it. I was in Poland last week. I'm now in Finland. That's where I'm talking from now is from Helsinki, and then we leave in the morning for Germany, for Munich. So it's just one country after the other every week.
Well, thank you for spreading your light to all these different countries and all these seekers of your wonderful teachings. And we'll be talking about the quantum healing technique as well. But I'd like to start with, in the event that anyone is not familiar with your work, if you could just quickly describe how, I'd like to know how it felt to be such a forerunner in the work that we all now embrace. 40 years ago, you were most surely a pioneer, bringing forward information from the experience of your work as a hypnotic regressionist. Can you give us a very brief intro on what catapulted you in that passage into the work that you're doing now?
Okay, like I said, most of the people do know my beginnings. But I started in the 1960s when nobody was doing any of this. Nobody knew what reincarnation was. They didn't know anything about past lives. Hypnosis was not used for that. There was no metaphysics. There was no New Age. There was nothing when I started out. And hypnosis was only used for habits. And I got sucked into it by accident, if anything is ever really an accident. And when I started, I didn't even know what I was getting into. But it was a pure accident that we got into reincarnation when I was doing a regular hypnosis session. Because there are no books out, nothing to tell you about any of this.
So were you doing some kind of a session like to help people with weight loss or cigarette smoking or whatever and stumbled across a past life? How did that happen?
Well, my husband was career Navy, 21 years. And we were stationed down in Texas on a base. And this doctor on the base called us because he knew we were doing hypnosis with habits and to get the guys to relax, the ones that were being shipped out to Vietnam. We were doing that kind of hypnosis. And he called us and said he had a patient who had problems with what he called nervous eating. She was very obese and having problems with her kidneys and high blood pressure. So all he wanted me to do was just to get her to relax. That was the main thing. And during the session, she goes into a past life in the Roaring Twenties, where she was a flapper in Chicago with the gangs. So it's like, what in the heck is this? Because there wasn't anything about that in those days.
Sure.
So,
and from there?
What?
From there, were you compelled because of that experience to investigate regression from that point on?
No, we worked with her out of curiosity because, you know, most people said, well, they would have stopped right there because this was very scary. But I'm very curious, as anybody who reads my books knows I'm curious. So we wanted to find out what we had. So we continued to work with her and we came up with the first book that I ever wrote about my beginnings. But it went on until my husband was almost killed in the service. And then we had to stop everything. And he was put out of the Navy as a disabled veteran. He ended up being in a wheelchair for 25 years. So we had to move to the hills of Arkansas, where we live now. And I had to put everything on the back burner while I was raising a big family and taking care of him. So it was in the 70s before I was able to get back into hypnosis. But even in those days, this was totally unknown. Nobody knew anything about it. But I wanted to get into that again because I liked to time travel. And it was fascinating what we were finding out. So I didn't want to do ordinary hypnosis anymore. I wanted to go into the past life regressions and time travel. But I had to wait till the kids were grown and they were out of there getting married and going off to college. Then it's, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I decided to do something the average mother wouldn't decide. I wanted to get back into the hypnosis again, but not the ordinary boring kind. That's when I studied all the other techniques and I didn't like them because I thought, why do I have to do it that way? Why do I have to do all those things? So I ended up, that was in the 70s, developing my own technique that is different than any other hypnosis technique out there. And it is now developed over the 30 years to where I'm teaching it now all over the world. That's what I'm doing on this trip, because I found a way. I take the people into the deepest possible level of trance, which is a somnambulistic level. The experts always say 1 out of 20 will go there spontaneously, but not the average person. But I found a way to get everybody to go into the deepest level, get the conscious mind out of the way, and then we can really get evidence and history. And I found a way to contact what I call the greatest force in the universe, has all knowledge and total power. Some people call it the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness, universal consciousness. But I found a way to contact it through every single client. And which is what the technique is about, how to do this. And then we're able to find the answers to any of their problems. This is where my books come from, all the metaphysical theories and knowledge that I get. Also, we found a way to cure any illness instantly in one session. That's my biggest focus right now, is teaching people all over the world how to heal instantly.
So I'd like to suggest that is a huge claim, and for the naysayers, not that we necessarily have any, but I would really appreciate you elaborating a little bit more on 2 points of what you just said. One being, we can get anyone into this trance state, which I'm sure is going to fascinate a lot of people that are listening. And 2, we can cure any disease, which is a huge claim.
But we are proving it over and over again.
Okay. Can you elaborate on, first of all, the so many people are resistant to hypnosis. Can you give us just a clue? I know that it's complicated to try to explain the whole process, but what is it about your approach that is able to involve people, to get anyone you claim into that state?
Well, the first thing you have to do is get rid of the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the stupidest part of the human being.
Agreed to that.
It really is. It thinks it knows everything. It wants to stay in control, but it doesn't really know anything at all. So you have to get that out of the picture. Then the people don't have any problem at all going into the deep level. This is what the technique is about, how to do that. And anybody can be hypnotized, anybody. And I get clients that come to see me that say, well, nobody can hypnotize me. Everybody's tried and it doesn't work. Well, this is what I tell my clients. Anybody can be hypnotized because you're hypnotized half of the day and you don't even know it.
So true. And let's talk about these spontaneous healings. This is very exciting information.
Okay, but this is, I've been proving it over and over and over again. I live in a mountain outside of a little town in Arkansas, and people come from all over the world to have the sessions. They find me out there in the middle of nowhere. And the main thing they're coming for now are the healings. And we have found instant healing of any disease. And it's been really wonderful to watch. I have miracles every day in my office. But the main thing, too, is the students are having the same miracles, the ones that are taking the class. And I really love that because it shows, you know, what greater satisfaction could a teacher have than to have the students be able to do it and even surpass me in some cases. But they're all finding the same things. And I have doctors and psychiatrists that take my classes, and they're incorporating this into their own practices.
of an event would you consider a miraculous healing? Can you describe or tell us a story of one or more of these experiences?
I could tell you thousands.
Choose a couple of really good ones.
No, I really could, because that's what I found. It is so simple. See, the thing is, nobody should ever be sick. You should never have any aches, pains, symptoms, or anything, because the human body is a miraculous machine that has been created to take care of itself and heal itself if we don't interfere. That's the problem. We bring doctors and everything into it. But it is such a miraculous machine, it can do anything. But if you're having any kinds of aches, pains, or it develops into a disease because you aren't receiving the messages, the body is an excellent messenger and it's always telling you something. And if you're not listening, aches and pains turn into something more if you ignore it, and it gets worse. But the thing is, people don't realize is you make yourself sick. And I have clients that say, what do you mean? I don't want to be sick. But if your mind is powerful enough to make yourself sick, it's also powerful enough to heal you. We just have to find out, why did you do this to yourself? Because you did it. Exactly. And I found how we can, people come in and give me their symptoms, whatever the disease is, whatever it is, and you can know immediately what's going on in their life now. Because of the part of their body that is affected will tell you a great deal about that person and their problems.
Yeah, so can you give us a description of one of these healings where someone has got walked up and you known immediately that they were healed?
We see, what I'm working with, I call it the greatest force in the universe. Other people may define it as the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness, or the universal consciousness. That's the part I work with. So we contact that during the session, and it comes in to the person, and we find out why they have the disease or the problem. Then they take care of it. I'm just a facilitator. I don't do the curing. I'm the facilitator. They're the ones that do the work. We've had innumerable cases of cancer that are cured instantly because cancer is caused by unexpressed anger. If the person could just talk about their problems, it would be so much simpler, but they don't. They hold everything inside. Then the anger begins to churn around, and after a while it begins to eat away at the organs and creates cancer. And the part of the body where the cancer is tells us what they're angry about. This part that I work with comes in, it dissolves and absorbs the tumor, and then it is flushed out of the system safely. And I've seen this again and again and again. And they go back to the doctors have no explanation for it. I've seen the doctor reports, and they'll say, well, it must have been misdiagnosis or something.
Right.
But many cases of cancer, we've had many, many cases of back problems where they were getting ready to have surgery on the back. And this part, I don't know what you want to call it. I call it the subconscious, although it is not really that part as defined by the psychiatrist. But I'll call it that for this part of this show. The subconscious comes in and fixes the back, and you can actually hear the bones popping and cracking. And it's on the tape, the recording afterwards. They can hear the bones popping and cracking as they go back into place. The person gets up and runs around the office, and they don't need any surgery at all. I've seen this countless times. And when I'm doing my classes, we do a demonstration from just someone in the class to show how it is done. And we've had many of these cases seen by the whole class when it happens. But those are just a few of the things. We've had every kind of disease you could possibly think of have come into my office.
It's very synchronistic. I was just talking to my niece about the days that I was doing hands-on healing, and I was just talking about this, that she had breast cancer, and that when I took her through the process, again, as you say, only facilitating, allowing spirit to do the work, she was able to see this black hole in her heart. And when she traveled into the black hole, she saw her father's casket. She had never been allowed to say goodbye. So when she was able to do that in the session, the cancer went into remission.
See, there's your anger.
Exactly.
Unexpressed anger.
It's so important for people to understand how repressed emotion moves into the physical body and manifests or metastasizes into disease.
Because they always blame it on something outside of themselves instead of looking within their own life. And then also, many times, the causes of these diseases go back to past lives. So in my work, we begin with a past life, and we get a lot of information there before I call in the big guys to do the work. Mm-hmm. But I've done it again and again, and I just finished the class here in Helsinki, and the students were practicing yesterday. Today, they were making their reports, and they were also reporting healings just in the first day of practicing. So it's very easy to learn, and it's very remarkable.
That is remarkable. Let's talk a minute. There's one overriding question that inevitably hypnotherapists are asked, especially past life regressionists. And, of course, John Mack, the famous hypnotherapist with abduction, which we're going to get into.
John was a friend of mine before he died.
Oh, wonderful. You were very blessed to be able to know him and, imagine, learn together. But he had to address this issue all the time of being accused of setting up the regression so that he was leading the person to have the experience. And I would love to for you to share with the audience how you remain in neutrality so that you don't guide, in the process of guiding someone into the regression, nonetheless, you don't set them up to experience something that has been somehow guided or led to by your work, your voice. Can you address that?
That's a big no-no. You never lead the client at all. And I can tell you that John Mack didn't do it either. We had long discussions about this. He told me he was accused of a lot of things because they had to knock him down.
That's right.
But that's the first thing you do with this work is not to – are you still there?
Yes.
Well, the screen all of a sudden went blank on me. I want to make sure you're still there. I haven't lost you.
Yes.
The first thing in my work was to not ever give the appearance of leading anyone anywhere. Otherwise, the skeptics will grab on that and they will shoot you down because you have to be very, very careful of not leading anyone anywhere. And that's what I do. We work solely with that person and find their past lives, and they're the ones that go to the past life. I just ask questions. That's what I tell my students. We just ask the questions. They do the work. We never lead the person into anything. And I'm as surprised as they are as the lifetime that comes out and what happens, because every session is exciting because I don't know what's going to happen.
Sure. Well, how do you do this? Do you work with a timeline? You tell them, you take them back to a certain time?
No, that would be leading.
So how do you do this?
I let them do it. This higher power. I tell the client they will take them to the most appropriate time and place.
Excellent.
The most appropriate to explain what's happening in their life right now. And then I never know what that's going to be. I'm just going to ask questions and it comes out. If they come in and they say, well, they're fascinated with a certain time period or a certain culture or country, they want to go there. I said, no, I won't do that. Because later you would say, I only saw it because you told me to. I said, you will go where you're supposed to go. And that way there's no leading in it at all.
But of course, there is the element of someone being already set up subjectively. If they're appassionato for Egypt, for example, they're already preconditioned to want to go to that historical experience, right?
We have some coming in for that, but they don't go there.
Guys are the most appropriate, I would imagine that even if they think that's where they're going, they end up going somewhere else.
Yeah, they don't go to the place they think they're going to go. They go to something totally opposite, but it's the life that answers their questions, even relationship questions, everything. Because how can you lead someone somewhere when you have no idea of their life plan they came in with? You don't know what they need to find. So you can't possibly lead that person. That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, I let them go where they're supposed to go, find out what they need to find out. Then we go into the healing. Are the answer to their questions, if they're having relationship problems, job problems, whatever it is. But I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I know there's no way to fake any of this. It's just too powerful.
I'm silent for a moment because knowing you don't do regressions overseas and yet knowing I'm going to be with you in London, I cannot help but wonder if there's going to be any way that I can get a regression session with you to bring back firsthand to my audience. Is that possible?
Firsthand what?
My firsthand experience, if I were able to have a regression session with you.
No, I heard that last part. You said that last part, firsthand what?
Experience of what we're talking about.
Well, that's the thing. Everywhere I go, everybody wants sessions.
Yes, I imagine.
The sessions are not short. I spend a great deal of time with the person. I tell them it's going to take as long as it takes. And when I'm traveling, there isn't any time with the classes and the traveling, so I don't do them when I'm on the road.
Yes, I imagine you have quite enough on your plate as it is.
It depends on how long we're going to be in any one place, but everywhere I go, everybody says, do me. I'm going to die. I've got a life-threatening disease. Right now, I have a 4-year waiting list for sessions.
Oh, my.
And I can only do it. You know, I have an office back in Arkansas, and I can only do them there when I'm between traveling. But when you're on the road, your energy is going toward the classes, toward the lectures, and you just can't focus on the sessions. I used to when I would come over here, but then I'd stay an extra week to see people. But it takes a lot of energy to do all of these different things.
I hear you. I'm in the same boat. All right. I would like to now, I'm thrilled that you were friends with John Mack, who I really respect and has done such great work to bring forward the information about so many abduction experiences, and I would love to talk about how you transitioned from being from doing regression to becoming a noted and respected UFO investigator. You worked with MUFON, I know that. Can you fill us in a little bit about how that process?
Okay. Yeah, I've been doing UFO investigations for 25 years. That was when John Mack was just beginning and Bud Hopkins, all of them. We were all in this together. But I started out, I think, about the same time as Whitley Strieber did. It was 25 years ago. And I was doing normal past life regressions in Arkansas, where this stuff is still kind of, they don't know what to think of it. But I had friends in the UFO societies, and they called me one day and they said, "We've got to have someone, a hypnotist, that can help with these cases." Because they had people, one woman in particular, who was saying she'd had an abduction experience. And they said they took her to a psychologist, and the psychologist didn't know what to do. They got her into the experience, and then they just woke her up, which is the worst kind of therapy you could ever do. And they just said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what questions to ask." So they called me and they said, "Would you help us with these cases?" They said, "You've been involved with a bazaar for so long, we don't think this will frighten you." And I said, "No, it just makes me more curious." So the first case I ever did on the UFOs was in front of 25 investigators with MUFON. And that's the worst kind of a situation. I call it a goldfish bowl situation.
Yeah, indeed it is.
But they brought a woman from the next state, and they wanted me to do her. We didn't know each other at all. And they didn't know that I had not done this kind of work. My technique would take the person into a past life, and I knew I was going to have to change it to keep them in this lifetime. So I was working with her, with all of these investigators sitting around, very skeptical, waiting to see what was going to happen. But it worked beautifully. And we got a great deal of information, and that was the beginning. And I was traveling all over Arkansas and Missouri, working on all of these cases. I was investigating sightings that where they had thought something had landed. I was doing all of that during that time. And that's when I started investigating the crop circles. But all of this is told in my book, The Custodians, because that's my 25 years of working with the UFO community. But the difference is, by me taking the person deep enough, removing the conscious mind, we get an extremely more amount of information than the other investigators do. Because Bud Hopkins told me one time, we were talking about this kind of hypnosis. He said he works in the light level. And I told him I work in the deep level. And he said, "No, I would never go there because I'm not sure what I would find there. They like to keep the person light enough. But you're in the light level, you have all of the emotions there. And when I take them deep enough, the emotions are not there, and you get a totally different story than they get when the emotions are present." Now, they have told me this is because when you have a UFO experience, you're not supposed to remember anything. But because of the chemicals in our food, the additives and the things, the pollutants in the air, and if the person is on any kind of drugs, recreational or medicinal, or if they are on any kind of alcohol, this influences the chemicals of their brain, and they will remember the experience in a distorted fashion. So they're not remembering it as a true experience. It's clouded with emotion and fear. So they're not going to get the true story. So if I remove that and I get them into the deeper level, we get a different story. And it's not near what these horror stories you hear out there. I've even worked with the same clients that these other investigators have worked with, and we get two different stories. And the client will tell me, "Well, if that's what happened, I can live with that."
Hmm.
That's the therapy. You got to make them better, not scare them to death.
And feed. In fact, I'm interested from the custodians. There was, from what I understand, you talked about the fact that many of the abduction cases are actually mutual agreements that were made prior to incarnating for the purpose of helping one another. And that is very positive information that rarely comes out in the abduction story. If you could elaborate on that, we'd be grateful.
They are always by mutual agreement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because now I have even more information. You know, I've written 4 books on the UFO phenomena. And my last book, The 3 Waves of Volunteers, has a whole section on UFOs from a different perspective. And it's always by mutual agreement, because they're not allowed to do anything without our agreement. They're not allowed to harm another human being. This is forbidden. Anything that happens is that it's going to a little complicated, but when you die and you're on the spirit side, you make your plan to come back. And you go over your life you have just left, and you do a life review with the board or the council advising you on what you need to work on the next time you come back into a life. And you're making your plan of what you hope to accomplish. And you make your contracts with all these other people you're going to be involved with. And they said at that time, the ETs come and talk to you in the spirit form and say, you know, when you're alive, we're going to be working on this project. Would you like to be involved in that? And they always say yes. And then whenever they're going through the experience, and I've had some of them say, oh, this is wrong. What are you doing this to me for? I didn't agree to this. And they don't understand what's happening. And the ETs tell them, remember, you signed the contract. You said it would be all right. But they said, if you don't want to be a part of it, we'll let you out right now because we don't want that kind of a mentality in this project. It's too big.
And what are some of the major projects that have come through in your work with people?
Well, this would take you another whole hour to explain it all. It's in the book, The 3 Waves of Volunteers.
I know. Can you go ahead? Well, for the people who are listening who are undoubtedly sitting there with great curiosity about what you've learned, can you give us some keys to some of the most important things that you've discovered as far as these projects are concerned?
I know they read my book, The 3 Waves of Volunteers, because it's now in 4th printing in just 6 months. And it's going all over the world, and I lecture everywhere about this, how the volunteers have come in to help with the earth right now, and how we're moving into the new earth that's happening right now in 2012. It's a whole long, complicated process. But the ones who have volunteered to come in and help are, some of them are ETs themselves, that they used to be living on spaceships and in other planets, and they volunteered to come in because the call went out, Earth is in trouble, who wants to go and help? And they've come from all parts of the galaxies. But when you come into a life, you don't remember the plan that you made before coming into the life. And you come into this life, you forget everything. We're the only planet in the universe where the people forget when they come in. And I asked them one time, why do we have to forget? It makes so much easier if we could remember our plan and our contracts. They said it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers.
See, that's very, very, very true.
You're just a school. You're only attending a school. Indeed. But this is where we found that these ETs, all they are doing is taking care of their own people that are down here in a human body and trying to function here and adjust to the energies that are different. The ET energy is different than a human energy. So a lot of the so-called abductions are just to adjust the energy and make sure that they're functioning correctly. So all they're doing is taking care of their own people. So it's not near the gruesome tales that you hear about.
All right, I'm going to interrupt for a moment and open up the lines. If you've got a question for Dolores, this is your big opportunity. The toll-free number is 888-627-6008. One more time, 888-627-6008. And if you have had an abduction experience, this might be an excellent time. Ooh, motorcycles. To be able to quickly discuss that on the air with Dolores. Thank you for that, Dolores. Have you ever had someone that you recognize as an ET in a session?
No. That's what my lectures, I'm talking about all this, and they say, well, how will we know the ones in this room are ETs? How are you going to know when they don't even know themselves? They come into this life, they're in a human body. The majority of these people don't want to be here. They don't like it here. They want to go home. They don't know where home is, but they know it's not here. They felt this way all their life, that they don't want to be here. And you wouldn't believe the thousands of emails that I've gotten since I brought this subject up on my show and in the books. They're saying, well, finally, somebody understands what we're feeling. And now I realize I'm not the only one in the world that feels like they're lost here. So how are you going to be able to tell which ones these are when they don't even know themselves until it comes out with a hypnosis?
And so what you're talking about is basically, I want to be clear on terms. Are you talking about starseed?
Well, that's one term for them, yes.
Okay.
But it's much more complicated than that.
Okay.
The three waves of volunteers, it goes into the whole process.
The whole process of the ET reality on Earth.
Yeah, because I've gotten it through all of these thousands of regressions. We get the same story over and over and over again. You know you're on to something.
Yeah, indeed. That's a very interesting aspect also to the unfolding of the abduction information, because, of course, the naysayers say that it's already a preconceived concept of the classic gray, the eyes, et cetera. And so it's preconceived when they go into the hypnotic situation. But I am curious to know from you, what is your experience of people believing they've been abducted and then recognizing, if this is the case, that in fact this was something else, like a government program or something of that nature? Do you have information about that?
I've never found anything out about a government program doing this at all.
Never?
That to me sounds like government propaganda. That's all it is.
Wow.
I've never had a case like that. When they find out they've been abducted and this is all explained, they say, thank goodness, now I know what really happened.
Okay, I have a caller on line three, Tessa. Hiya, Tessa. Are you there?
Hi, Patricia. Hi, Dolores.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah?
What's your question, Tessa?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You've got us on the line. Please share your question with Dolores.
Yes, well, I wanted to say, first of all, that I completely love you two guys' work and helping birth on Earth. And just wanted to really say thank you for doing what you're doing. And I can already feel, I know Dolores talks a lot about it. The new Earth, and through her, I guess through her, the information that she has gotten from all her patients, and I can see it. It's already here. So I'm really excited, and really just wanted to thank you so much for all that you do, and you, Patricia, for all your sharing with the Syrian Council, and the work you're doing with the protection of the cetaceans. Who are here to help us. And
Thank you.
I guess my question, well, I don't have a question really, just have a lot of gratitude. And I try to share your work and spread the word as much as I can, and just blessings, and thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Tessa.
Thank you.
And keep up your own good work, your light work. Thank you, darling.
Okay, goodbye. Bye, darling.
Bye, love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, where were we, Dolores?
Oh, you were still talking about abductions.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from that. Let's talk more about the many things that you are up to right now. You've got the cruise coming up. I'd love for you to talk about that and the transformational conferences, what's going on with these different things you're doing. And of course, your global program around the world, as you said, teaching people the techniques that you have mastered to do this work. Would you like to share some information so people know the opportunity to encounter you and to join you on some of these important adventures?
Well, right now, I said I just finished the class in Poland and in Warsaw and in Helsinki, and I'm going on to Munich in the morning. But that class, unless there's somebody wanting to come in at the last minute, I think it's a little late to get in on that. But after that, then I'll be going back to England, and we're going to be getting ready for the Transformation Conference there. And I began the Confirmation Conference 7 years ago in Arkansas. I started it mostly to showcase my authors, the new authors our company publishes, who didn't have exposure, and a lot of them had never even spoken in public before. So I mostly started it for that. So 7 years we've been doing that. And then they decided, let's have one in London. So this will be our first one in London, the 31st of August and the 1st and 2nd of September. And Patricia, you're going to be a speaker there too.
Yes, how very generous of you to embrace me and bring me into the family. I was very moved by that because we so often we work separately. We all have our techniques and our viewpoints. And I think you and I both know that we have quite a kindred spirit between us and certainly an approach. But nonetheless, I want to express my gratitude again to you for bringing me in as a speaker for that event. I'm very excited to be there with you all.
The keynote speaker is going to be Dr. Arun Gandhi. And he is the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. He's one of our authors. We have published his books, and I've known him now for 15 years. He's a fantastic speaker, and he now has an organization for children that he's going to be promoting at the conference. But he's the keynote speaker, and then we have you, and we have lots of other, some of my authors that are from England, and we've got 3 days packed full of very exciting speakers and events. But yes. Then, yeah, that's going to be a big thing. Then after that, then I have a class in England. We have it out by Oxford. And there's people are still signing up for that one if anybody is interested. And it looks like it's going to be a big one.
What are the dates, Loris?
Well, sometimes we have to cap these classes if they get too big. The last one before I left the States was over 100 people. And it gets hard to teach that many people in a room. But they're still signing up for the one in England. And this is an ongoing project because now what I'm involved with, we have formed an academy, an hypnosis academy. And we are connected with a school in Florida. It's a college in Florida that specializes in alternative medicine and natural medicine. So we're associated with them. So anyone that takes my class is going to be certified to practice anywhere in the world. And it's growing into a program that in the future they'll be able to even go with have a BS and maybe even PhDs. It's spreading way beyond our wildest dreams of what this academy is going to be.
That's excellent. But when are the dates of this workshop, this course in England?
Oh, see, I don't have it right here in front of me. It's after the conference.
Is it during the week?
It's in September. It's the week, I think, after the conference.
Okay, great. So how can people find out about signing up from your website?
Yeah, on our website, which is Ozark Mountain, name of my company is Ozark Mountain Publishing. So that'd be OZARKMT.com. Or you can just type in my name, DoloresCannon.com, and it'll come up with my page, and I have a schedule on that page. But we're doing the class in by Oxford. Then after that, I can't think of the rest of the itinerary, but I'll be going to Rome, down into your hometown, and I'm having class in Rome.
That's yes, I'd like to say something in Italian, if I can interrupt you, to announce this to the people who are listening, who are, well, they're listening in English, but they probably understand English, but I would like to just announce that in Italian a moment. Per tutti voi che ascoltate, che siete italiani, vorrei annunciare che la signora Cannon sarà presente in Roma il 24 settembre. Si può contattare a me direttamente, ho l'onore di parlare anche quella sera con Dolores, e quindi chiamatemi, contattatemi a info@syrianrevelations.net. And I've just announced to them that I've also been asked to join you on that talk, which will be fun, and hopefully I can lure you away for an extraordinary Italian dinner as well.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I think she said it was September the 24th.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a joint lecture in Rome before the class begins.
Indeed.
So that means the class will be following the 24th when we do the talk. But then after that class is when we go on the 11-day cruise of the Mediterranean. And you're going to head for Peru. Otherwise, we were hoping you could have joined us on the cruise also.
Thank you, my dear. Well, maybe next year we can do it again and create something between us once again. I would love to cruise with you in the Mediterranean for sure. What's that going to be like? Have you got other speakers joining you?
Oh, yes. It's going to be workshops on the ship. It's an 11-day cruise, and I believe it's going to Athens, Naples, Ephesus in Turkey, Sicily. It's all over the Mediterranean for 11 days. And we're going to be doing workshops and other speakers. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it leaves from Rome and then comes back from Rome. So this is the first part of October is when that's going to be. I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but all this information is on our website.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. What would you like to share in the few minutes that we have left? What would you like to bring forward to the people that are listening about the work that you're doing now and this book, how important it is? I know, wow, fourth printing in 6 months is pretty extraordinary. Congratulations. What do you bring forward to people as far as the great shift 2012, the fear, the excitement? How do you perceive it? I know you have also bridged the idea of future regression, and undoubtedly there will be people who are curious to know what you've seen or experienced with people in future regressions. Can you go there?
Well, you know, the future is not set in stone.
No, neither is the past. It's
all based on your own individual choices, and this way it can be many multiple possibilities and probabilities. But we are right now sitting in the most exciting time in history, and we are going to go into this exciting new adventure as the whole earth is raising its vibrations and frequencies to shift into this new dimension. And if we want to go with it, we have to change our own frequency of our own body, change the vibrations and frequencies. And this is what a lot of my talks are about, is how we can do this, because it's happening anyway. Your DNA is being changed in everyone, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But some people will be left with the old earth, the ones who are so much into negativity, they have no desire to change. They don't want to go different. They've said they will stay with what they have created. But the rest are going into this entirely beautiful new world where there's no karma, there is no negativity, and no illness, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's just like it is described in the book of Revelation in the Bible, where they talk about the new heaven and the new earth. The only difference was back then, St. John didn't know that the vision he saw on the Isle of Patmos was going to be 2,000 years down the road. But it's a very important time we're living in right now, and it's the first time this has ever happened in the history of a universe that an entire planet is going to move into a new dimension. This is what I talk about, the new Earth. You don't have to worry about the Earth ending in 2012. That's nothing. It's not what's going to happen at all. When it happens, it's going to be so gradual, you won't even notice anything is going on. It's happening right now.
They said, I love Dolores say these words because they resonate so much with the information that I have been blessed to bring through. And it's so important now that we find ways, find peace, find new understanding to let go of any residual fear that still remains and help other people. It's not only about ourselves anymore now, folks. It's about helping other people also embrace this understanding that a higher vibration is unfolding. We're in it. We're in the process. And to embrace that so that we can all join in raising this beautiful planet to its highest, purest state as we prepare for this transition.
And that was what they said. The main thing you have to do is get let go of fear.
Absolutely.
Because fear remains with the old Earth.
Yes, indeed. We're coming to a close now. I would like to just take a minute before I say goodbye to Dolores to tell all of you that for me to hear these words from a fellow spirit warrior and definitely a kindred soul is very heartwarming. I feel great resonance with Dolores's wonderful work, and I know that many of you are feel the same way and listen and read both of our work. And so it's a great, great joy to connect with her. Her family has embraced me, the people at Ozark Mountain Publishing, her wonderful daughter, Julia, Vitali, and Stephanie. And I thank you for that. I look forward to a wonderful, wonderful experience in London. Please find out about this event. It is going to really rock in colloquial terminology, and I'd love for you to come. So please investigate Ozark Mountain Publishing website and come to London if you can be there. We also, after the Olympics, it would be nice to raise the energy a little bit in London, and I think that will take place on that wonderful weekend. So here we are. We're already at the end of the show. Dolores, I know you're on a crazy busy schedule, so thank you so much for taking this hour to join us on Beyond the Matrix.
Okay, and then I'll see you on August the 31st anyway.
I'll see you, and I'm really looking forward to giving you a mega galactic hug and embarking on this adventure together. And please remember also, as Dolores was saying, the dates for the Rome event, where I'll also be speaking with her, is September 24th. Her dates for the cruise, which sounds divine. If I could be there, I would love to be there. Follow, and you can find that information there. And don't forget, I am at the absolute breaking point for deadline for signups for Peru. So all of this information is available on the web. And thank you so much, Tessa, for your beautiful commentary and support of Dolores and me on your call. Okay, people, you have been listening to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box. And hoo-wee! We certainly have in Dolores a wonderful guide to help us do that. Thank you, dear sister.
And thanks for asking me to come on.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for all you do for planet Earth. Goodbye, everybody. I'll be with you in 2 weeks, and I'll be broadcasting from London, from the event. That'll be fun. Who knows who I'll grab onto the mic and bring forward to you in that event. I love you. Thank you for your light, for your hope, and for your understanding of the greatness of the cosmos of soul. Nanu, nanu.